What? He said that? Oh, you're about to be surprised with some famous quotes today from some people that will surprise you. We'll also be giving away some free copies of my newest book, Authentic Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are going to have a great show today on The Line of Fire, and all of you listening, you will be directly part of it. It was great to meet many of our listeners on WAVA FM and WAVA AM as I ministered this past weekend in the Maryland, D.C. area. So thanks for joining us over the weekend, and get ready to call, okay? Get ready to call 866-348-7884. We're going to have fun today, but it's going to be edifying fun on The Line of Fire. You could call this show today, Who Said It? We've done it here and there on the broadcast. Maybe we'll just brand it as Who Said It in the future. But I'm going to read you different quotes. I'm going to read you different quotes over the course of the next 2 hours. So if you're listening for 5 minutes or all 2 hours, you can participate. Again, the number to call, 866-348-7884. The rules are, when you hear the quote, you are not allowed to look it up online. Let's just say you could type it out fast enough and get it exact. No, you're not allowed to do that. What you have to do is take a guess, or an educated guess. Maybe you're sitting together with family, maybe with coworkers, and you can listen, and you can discuss it between yourselves. That's allowed. Or if you have some books that might, oh, I think I've got a book by that person, you can check, that's fine. But you are not allowed to look it up online. That means on your smartphone. Yeah. And you can't have someone else look it up for you. Now, here's how it's going to go. Because I'm going to be doing this for 2 hours, and there's a purpose in the quotes. In other words, I'm going to be sharing some stuff about the quotes, and I'm going to be interacting with them as well. So it's going to be an edifying show as well as fun. But whoever gets it right will be down on the list to get a copy of my book, Authentic Fire, A Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, which I'm working on now. Had great grace working on it last week, working on it last night. Keep working on it. Have others contributing some excellent stuff. And our goal is to get it out end of November, early December. So we will get you a copy when it comes out. Also, if you want to talk to me about anything, if you have questions, if you want to interact with anything I've talked about in recent shows and we're unable to get through, the phone lines are open for that as well, 866-348-7884. If you've been trying to press questions to me on Facebook and Twitter and I just can't respond there and I've said, hey, call the show, today is a great day to call. Okay, you ready for the first quote? And Dwight, we will be taking people on the air to give their guesses, all right? So Dwight will be taking people on the air to give their guesses. The first quote is this. It's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. Again, it's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. Who said it? Was it Oral Roberts? Was it Benny Hinn? Was it John MacArthur? Is that a quote from the Bible? Was it Adrian Rogers? Maybe outside of our tradition entirely, Buddha? Was it Kenneth Copeland? Was it Hudson Taylor? Was it Billy Graham? Was it D.L. Moody? Here's the quote. It's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, John MacArthur, a scripture, Adrian Rogers, Buddha, Kenneth Copeland, Hudson Taylor, Billy Graham, D.L. Moody. Take your guess. And hey, someone's going to get it eventually because you keep guessing. If you get it wrong, someone's going to get it right. 866-348-7884. Doesn't hurt to give it a try. We'll be back with your calls and we'll tell you who said it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, who said it? Yeah, I know the list was long, but I'm going to be doing a lot of different questions, and I want to make it a little more challenging, and I want to illustrate some points here. 866-348-7884. And hey, someone will get it right. But here's the quote. And I've got a bunch of fascinating quotes, and I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to comment on them as well. It's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. Who said it? Was it Oral Roberts, famous for teaching seed faith, or Benny Hinn, who would teach the same? Was it Pastor John MacArthur? Was this a verse I quoted, an exact verse? Was it Baptist pastor Adrian Rogers? Was it outside of our tradition, perhaps Buddha? Was it a Word of Faith teacher like Kenneth Copeland? Maybe a missionary like Hudson Taylor, or an evangelist like Billy Graham, D.L. Moody? Who said it? It's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. And we'll talk about the quote in a moment. You get it right, all you have to do is guess. You get one guess, get it right, and we'll put you on the list to get a free signed copy of my forthcoming book, Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. All right, we start with Marion in Washington, D.C. What's your guess?
My guess is a scripture.
You know, it's a scriptural principle, Marion, but it's not in the Bible. The Bible does say if we sow generously, we reap generously, and we reap what we sow. But no, it's not a scripture. 866-348-7884. Monique in Hackensack, New Jersey. What's your guess?
I think it's Billy Graham.
All right. Good guess. Billy Graham could have well said it, but no, it was not Billy Graham. So we're eliminating some names here. Okay. Let's go to Alex in Houston. What's your take?
I would say D.L. Moody.
D.L. Moody. All right. Another good guess. Another evangelist. But no, so far, none of those gentlemen. So it's either Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, John MacArthur. When I said none of those gentlemen, not D.L. Moody, not Billy Graham, and not a scripture. So it's either Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, John MacArthur, Adrian Rogers, Buddha, Kenneth Copeland, or Hudson Taylor. It's not Billy Graham. It's not D.L. Moody. Now, let's talk about it for a moment. It's a very true principle. If God has blessed me with resources, those resources don't do anybody any good sitting in my pocket or sitting in the bank. If he's blessed me to be a blessing, then I can't help others unless I send out what I have. 866-34-TRUTH. Gail in Brooklyn, what's your guess?
I think it's Oral Roberts.
I put Oral Roberts there first because he's associated with seed faith. But no, he's not the one who said it. Let's go to Shirley in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your guess?
This was Shirley Harris. I just spoke with you.
Okay, great. Nice to meet you, Shirley. So what's your guess?
MacArthur?
John MacArthur. No, it's not John MacArthur. It's not Pastor MacArthur who said that. So we're getting close. That means it's got to be either Benny Hinn, televangelist, healing minister Benny Hinn, loved by many, hated by many, the late Baptist pastor, Southern Baptist leader Adrian Rogers, Buddha, Word of Faith teacher Kenneth Copeland, or missionary Hudson Taylor. Let's go to Joshua in Everett, Massachusetts.
Hi, it was the missionary from China, Hudson Taylor.
A good guess. You know, I've got some great faith quotes from Hudson Taylor on my list that I might use, I might not. But no, Joshua, it wasn't Hudson Taylor. So it's either Benny Hinn, televangelist Benny Hinn, Southern Baptist leader Adrian Rogers, Buddha, Kenneth Copeland, Word of Faith teacher. All right, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. I just want to say, Joey in the studio, you nailed it. Pauline in Brooklyn, what's your guess?
Benny Hinn.
Benny Hinn. All right, another good guess. You'd think of him, seed faith, so on. Not Benny Hinn. So we've got Word of Faith teacher Kenneth Copeland, Buddha, and Southern Baptist leader Adrian Rogers. Janet in Boston, your guests on the Line of Fire.
Hi, I would say Buddha.
No, not Buddha. Not Buddha, but hey, I put it in there for a reason. You know, maybe it's just a principle that works across religion. So it's either a Southern Baptist leader, Adrian Rogers, a Word of Faith teacher who teaches on prosperity, Kenneth Copeland. The quote again, it's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. And in Huntersville, North Carolina, what's your guess?
Well, I was going to say Buddha because I thought it was a trick question, but I guess I would say Adrian Rogers.
Well, you went from Buddha to Adrian Rogers, and you got it right, Anne. All right, stay right there. Okay, everyone that's on hold, stay there. You get to get the guess on the next one, all right? You can go first on the next question. So Maggie, Carolyn, Catherine, others, stay right there. So Anne, you're the winner. Dwight, get Anne's contact info, and we'll send her a copy of Authentic Fire in a few weeks when it's out. So why did I put that there? Because sometimes we react against a teaching because we see it abused. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we react against a teaching because we see that teaching abused. You see somebody on TV saying, hey, plant a seed in our ministry and God will give it supernatural growth and the Lord's given me this number and if you send in this amount today, you'll get this back. And we say, oh, nonsense. That's abusive. That's manipulative. I can't believe people go for that stuff. However, as abusive and manipulative as that is, there are many promises in the Word, given it shall be given to you. That those who honor the Lord out of the first fruits of their increase, God will bless them abundantly. Generosity receives generosity. Those who are generous receive God's generosity. And the purpose of giving is not to receive. The purpose of giving is to give. But if you want to make a difference in the mission field, you believe in missions and God's prospered your business and you become wealthy, well, if you just sit on that money and get yourself a new Ferrari and give maybe a dollar to missions, well, that's not going to make the difference. It's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn. And maybe you have so much money you could buy a Ferrari and give it away tomorrow. That's between you and God. The fact of the matter is, when we sow into the kingdom of God, when we sow funds into the gospel, when we sow funds to make a difference in the gospel, that's when that seed is multiplied. Whatever you do in life, if you just hold on to it and keep it to yourself. Here, if I had these great ideas for radio today, these wonderful ideas from the Lord, and I sat on them and I didn't get on the air and share them with you, they would not be multiplied to many of you. So it's the same principle. And I thought it was fascinating that here it's a Southern Baptist leader that said it. Sometimes the teaching gets terribly abused in the body. A particular group will grab hold of it as if it's the only verse or teaching in the Bible, and they take it to an extreme, and they take it in a carnal way. I remember years ago, Nancy said to me, hey, if this guy writing to us believes in seed faith, why isn't he sending us money? Why is he telling us to send him money? If he believes in seed faith, he should be sending us money, right? So things can get abused, but we don't want to lose sight of the fact that certain truths are still true. Okay, here's the next one for you, all right? Here's the next one for you, and let me just, where is it? Here we go. In matters in which Scripture is not explicit, there is room for difference of opinion. In matters in which Scripture is not explicit, there is room for difference of opinion. Who said that? Was that Oral Roberts? Was that Benny Hinn? Was that John MacArthur? Was it Charles Spurgeon? Maybe the Chinese Christian leader Watchman Nee? Or maybe this one was Kenneth Copeland? Or maybe missionary Hudson Taylor or evangelist Billy Graham or evangelist D.L. Moody? Here's the quote again. In matters in which Scripture is not explicit, there is room for difference of opinion. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, on the other side of the break, we'll come back and get your answers. You got to, but remember, you're not allowed to look it up. If you just tuned in, you're not allowed to look it up. You can discuss it with people. You can, Joey, you're wrong this time. You got the first one right, but you're wrong this time. You can bounce it around with other people, discuss it. If you think you have a book that's going to tell you where it is, fine, but you're not allowed to type it in, get online, look for it. So it matters in which scripture is not explicit. There's room for difference of opinion. Was it Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, John MacArthur, Spurgeon, Watchman Nee, Kenneth Copeland, Hudson Taylor, Billy Graham, or D.L. Moody? Also, tomorrow we're going to have on the air with me for the entire broadcast, Lynn Wilder. She was a former tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University, committed Mormon, now follower of Jesus. It's going to be an eye-opening broadcast.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we're having some edifying fun on the air today. I'm reading different quotes for you, and you have to tell me who said it. Some it may make perfect sense that this person said it. Some it may be a surprise. But the quotes are important and lead to some practical, edifying discussion. The only rule is you're not allowed to look these up online, and I'll be giving you a list of 7, 8, 9, 10 different potential people, and one way or another with our callers, we'll get it right, and then whoever gets it right will get a free copy of my newest book that I'm writing right now, By God's Grace, Authentic Fire, a Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, due out in about 1 month's time. Okay, special programming alert. On the next broadcast, On the Line of Fire, I'm going to be speaking to Lynn Wilder. Dr. Lynn Wilder wrote the book Unveiling Grace, The Story of How We Found Our Way Out of the Mormon Church. She was a tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University. So she was an active Mormon leader in the church with her husband and family. How they left, why they left, what Mormons really believe. Oh, from an insider who's now on the outside telling us how to reach Mormons with the gospel. You don't want to miss this broadcast, the book, Unveiling Grace. Also, I'm excited to hold this book up for you. You say, I'm listening on the radio. I can't see it. Well, I'm holding it up, and we'll put this on YouTube later. 13 long years after this book came out, in English, Volume 2 of Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. It is finally out and available in Hebrew. We sharpened it even more for the Hebrew translation. It was worked on literally for years to get every reference and research and find every little point to make sure it was exactly right as it was going out with the right Hebrew and Aramaic sources and checking the documentation as it would be found there in Israel. We are thrilled. Book is out. Pray that God will use it. This is the one they felt, our friends in Israel, was the most important of my different books on answering Jewish objections to Jesus to get out. So it's out. Please pray that God will use it to reach many Jewish people, especially Orthodox Jews in Israel, with the good news of Jesus, Yeshua. Thank you for praying. Okay, so here's the quote. Who said it? In matters in which Scripture is not explicit, there is room for difference of opinion. Was it Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, John MacArthur, Charles Spurgeon? Maybe Watchman Nee, Kenneth Copeland, Hudson Taylor, Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, who said it? We'll start with Maggie in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. I think it was Benny Hinn.
All right. Good guess. Could have been Benny Hinn, but unfortunately it wasn't. We'll keep going until we get it. Caroline in Queens, New York. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello?
Who do you think said it? Carolyn, you're on the air.
Oh, Spurgeon.
Spurgeon has a similar quote, but absolutely not. It wasn't Spurgeon, although that would be true to his spirit. I'll tell you what Spurgeon did say. I'll get back to that Spurgeon quote. Here we go. Spurgeon said, I believe that in public worship, we should do well to be bound by no human rules and constrained by no stereotyped order. Yeah, Spurgeon said that. I could have quoted that as some wild-eyed Pentecostal. You would have thought he or she might have said that. Let me read the quote again. It's not Benny Hinn. It's not Charles Spurgeon. The quote says this: in matters in which Scripture is not explicit, there is room for difference of opinion. Let's go to Catherine in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, John MacArthur?
It was John MacArthur. You're exactly right. Was that just a total stab in the dark?
Yeah, or? Catherine from Massachusetts.
All right. Well, Catherine, okay, well, great. Stay right there, Catherine. We will get your exact address. Make sure we send the book to the right state when it comes out. Yeah, this is in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, page 27 of his commentary on 1 Corinthians, as I have it in front of me. Now here's what's interesting. You wouldn't associate that sentiment with Pastor MacArthur. In other words, you might think that he would have a certain hard line and would not say that. But in point of fact, here's where his hard line comes from. There are places where I would say Scripture is explicit against his position, or Scriptures can be debated either way. And in his mind, no, their hard line, his position. In other words, where we differ, say, in the interpretation of tongues and the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:14, well, it's explicit to me that his position is wrong. In his view, it's explicit that my position is wrong. So you might say then, wouldn't there be one of these categories where we could have a difference of opinion? You see, I'm not going to divide over my brothers and sisters if they believe that when I speak in tongues, it's just words that I'm making up or stuff that's just coming out of my own head and it's not really the Holy Spirit. If they recognize I'm saved and I love the Lord and I'm committed to Him, want to follow Him, want to reach the lost, want to make disciples, and they have differences with me over that, I'm not going to break fellowship over that. And I'm going to say, hey, that's fine. And I assure you, if we have a prayer meeting together, I'll pray in English and we'll understand each other and so on. That's fine. I teach at schools that don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit for today as I do. And I honor that when I'm in those schools. In other words, I teach what I'm asked to teach. If I'm teaching Jewish apologetics or Book of Job or something, that's what I teach and that's what we discuss. And if they say, well, what is your view on this? And I say, well, the school has this view, others have this view, this be my view. And I do it in a way that's non-divisive. So the principle of this, I absolutely affirm and say amen to my elder brother. In matters in which Scripture is not explicit, there is room for difference of opinion. So here's a question. Does Scripture explicitly tell you that when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will feel something or you will not feel something? Does it say something explicit on it? Actually, no. Does it say explicitly, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll fall or you won't fall, or you'll shake or you won't shake? It doesn't say that explicitly. So we could have difference of opinion there. The question would be, what's the quality of this person's life? What are they focused on? Where's their life going? That's the real issue, isn't it? All right. We have an hour and a half more of books to give away, a whole bunch of interesting quotes I'll be reading. But I want to encourage every one of you, pre-order a signed copy of my book, Authentic Fire, A Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. It is not an attempt to bash or hit back. It is an attempt to really open up these subjects scripturally, to see where many, many wonderful, healthy babies have been thrown out with the bathwater, and to build your own faith in the Word and Spirit and help us come together. In fact, wherever you are in the spectrum in this book, you'll be able to see, oh, okay, this is where my brothers and sisters are coming from. And then together we can combat error. Pray with me for grace to finish this book. We'll have it out in about 1 month. Call now to pre-order your signed copy. The only way you get the print copy is from us. The ebook will be available online. The print copy exclusively for our ministry. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I'm going to give you a little background this time around, and then I'm going to give you the quote. Who said it? We're having some edifying fun today on the Line of Fire. We're giving you some quotes from famous leaders of the past or present, and then we're talking about those quotes. You're not allowed to look them up, okay? You're not allowed to get online, and if it's a short quote, type out the substance of the quote, look it up on your smartphone or your tablet or your PC or wherever. You can talk about it with friend or family, but everyone's going to get it eventually because it's multiple choice, okay? So who said it? 866-348-7884. Whoever gets it right, either by an educated guess or by an uneducated guess or just a guess, will get a free signed copy of my forthcoming book, Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. When I felt prompted to write the book, which was basically after the Strange Fire conference was taking place, and I felt prompted I was supposed to write this book, my thought was, okay, we'll get it out as an e-book, because I knew that's the only way to get it out immediately. If God gave me grace to write it in a three-week period, say, then get it out in an ebook, maybe a couple, 3 weeks after that, that would get us to end of November, early December. But working with Excel Publishing, a subdivision of Charisma Media, they said, no, we could do print on demand for you. So our ministry will have the print book, but everyone will be able to order the ebook on all the different platforms online. Okay, so the particular leader I'm about to quote had once stated quite specifically that Christians were not to look for continuance of the healing gift. Healings, those types of miracles, had ceased. All right? Then he said this, once I realized how many miracles were occurring in our own day and which were so like the miracles of old, and also how wrong it would be to allow the memory of these miracles, these marvels of divine power, to perish from our people, he had a change of heart. So he says this, you ready? This is someone who once stated specifically, Christians should not look for continuance of the gift of healing. But then he had a change of heart. He said, it is only 2 years that the keeping of records was begun here, and already we have nearly 70 attested miracles. 70 attested miracles in 2 years from someone who once said healing is not for today. So, 866-348-7884. Who said it? Was it Oral Roberts? Did he have a change of heart and then began to pursue divine healing? Or perhaps that's what happened with Benny Hinn. Or maybe it was Charles Parham, who was an early leader in the Pentecostal outpouring over 100 years ago. Maybe it's actually Charles Spurgeon. Maybe Spurgeon said it's not for today and then saw miracles and realized it was. Or perhaps Augustine, one of the most important of the early church leaders over 1,500 years ago. Maybe Martin Luther. Maybe that was the position of the Reformation leader Martin Luther. Or maybe that's what happened with Kenneth Copeland. Or perhaps it's actually Billy Graham. So who was it? Who was it? Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, Pentecostal pioneer Charles Parham, Baptist leader Charles Spurgeon, early church father Augustine, Martin Luther, Kenneth Copeland. We'll leave it there. There are our choices. 866-34-TRUTH. Evelyn in Bridgeport, Connecticut. We lost Evelyn. Let's see if I can get one call in quickly. Milton in Houston, Texas. What's your guess, sir?
Good afternoon, sir. I would say Charles Parham.
Charles Parham. That would make sense because he came into the things of Pentecost, became a Pentecostal leader. But no, it was not Charles Parham. So was it Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, Charles Spurgeon? Was it Augustine, Luther, or Kenneth Copeland, who said it? Find out. We come back.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we're having some fun on the broadcast today. Who said it? Don't miss tomorrow's broadcast with Dr. Lynn Wilder. She was formerly a faculty member, tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University, years and years in the Mormon Church, now preaching Jesus to the Mormons. So if you have Mormon friends or if you're listening as a Mormon, please tune in to tomorrow's broadcast. 866-34-TRUTH. Who said it? Who said it? We're giving you some quotes. You're not allowed to look them up online, but you can guess, and whoever gets it right will get a free copy of my book, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, as soon as it is available, probably about 1 month from now. So here is a leader who specifically taught that Christians should not look for continuance of the healing gift. But he said, well, once I realized how many miracles were occurring in our own day, which were so like the miracles of old, and realized how wrong it would be to allow the memory of these marvels of divine power to perish from among our people. He said, it's only 2 years that we've been keeping records here, but already at this writing, we have nearly 70 attested miracles. So who said it? Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, famous for their healing ministries, Charles Parham. No, we eliminated him, early Pentecostal leader. Maybe Charles Spurgeon. Or was it a major church leader like Augustine or Martin Luther or a contemporary Word of Faith preacher, Kenneth Copeland? Who said it? Let's go to Sharon. All right. Let's go to Stephanie in Joppa, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, it was St. Augustine.
It was St. Augustine. Now, you said that with some level of assurance. How did you know that?
You talked about it on a prior broadcast. I remember. Stephanie,
you deserve like 8 books for not just being a regular listener, but remembering what I taught on the broadcast. Excellent job, Stephanie. And I've got a big smile on my face that you got it right for that reason.
Thank you.
Stay right there, and we will get your address to send you a copy of the book. All right. Hey, everybody, stay on the line, okay? Just stay there. The phone line opens. Get in, 866-348-7884. And eventually, we'll get winners for each and every quote. So Augustine, one of the most revered church leaders, if you're at the Strange Fire Conference, you would have heard it mentioned basically that the theology at the Strange Fire Conference goes back to men like D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, great reform leader, and then Charles Spurgeon, and then before that, the reformers, and before that, Augustine, and before that, the apostles. So, I mean, they put him right there in the link. Others associate him with certain controversies or Catholicism, etc. But one of the most revered leaders in church history, and earlier in his life and ministry, he said specifically that Christians should not seek or believe in the continuance of the healing gifts. And then he saw God beginning to heal. His views changed as he was writing his City of God book. And he said within 2 years in Hippo, where he was, that they had already recorded 70 miracles. Wow. All right. Are you ready for this quote? Let me grab it here. Oh, and by the way, some of these quotes will be in my book. That's right. Some of these quotes will be in my Authentic Fire book. Who said this? It's a little bit longer quote, but it's so edifying. I want to read it to you. Remember, you're not allowed to look it up. Any work that exalts the Holy Spirit or gifts above Jesus will finally end up in fanaticism. Whatever causes us to exalt and love Jesus is well and safe. The reverse will ruin all. Where the Holy Spirit is actually in control, Jesus is proclaimed the head, the Holy Spirit, his executive. Let me read this again. Any work that exalts the Holy Spirit or gifts above Jesus will finally end up in fanaticism. Whatever causes us to exalt and love Jesus is well and safe. The reverse will ruin all. Where the Holy Spirit is actually in control, Jesus is proclaimed the head, the Holy Spirit, his executive. Well, who said that? Was that Billy Graham? Was that Charles Parham, early leader at in the Pentecostal outpouring over 100 years ago? Was it Oral Roberts? Was it Benny Hinn? I know I quoted John MacArthur before, but was this John MacArthur? Or was it R.C. Sproul, who also spoke at the Strange Fire Conference? Or was it Martin Luther? Or was it Frank Bartleman, a leader at the Azusa Street outpouring over 100 years ago? Let me read the beginning of the quote. Any work that exalts the Holy Spirit or gifts above Jesus will finally end up in fanaticism. 866-348-7884. We'll start with Jeffrey in Tampa, Florida. Who said that?
I would say Billy Graham.
Excuse me? Benny Hinn?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. No, you know, that sounds like a great Billy Graham quote, Jeffrey. And he's got many, many wonderful quotes, but sorry, sir, it was not Billy Graham. So, if not Billy Graham, was it Martin Luther? Was it early Pentecostal leader Frank Bartleman? Was it Oral Roberts? Was it Benny Hinn? Was it John MacArthur? Was it R.C. Sproul? Was another early Pentecostal leader Charles Parham? 866-34-TRUTH. Alan in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. I guess I was a little late because I had St. Augustine. I told your moderator when I called. But
Yeah, a little bit late, but maybe you'll get this one.
Bartleman, I thought he was a journalist. He wrote the incredible cover-up.
No. Dave McPherson
is
the journalist.
Dave McPherson wrote that.
Who wrote the incredible cover-up about the origins of the pre-trib rapture in his view.
Exactly.
Frank Bartleman was a journalist involved in Azusa Street. All right, so you're a guest, sir.
Yeah, Azusa Street. So I'm thinking it's him. Am I right or wrong?
Matt, you are two for two. You got Augustine right, and you got Bartleman right. Now, excellent. Good job. Let me tell you why this is so important. All right, stay right there, Alan, and Dwight will get your address for me to send you a copy of Authentic Fire. You see, there is a lot of caricature about the beginnings of the Pentecostal movement, especially a little over 100 years ago in Azusa Street in California. And it's caricatured. And unfortunately, in Pastor MacArthur's book, it's caricatured as a fraud and a scam from the start. And one of the leaders involved with it, Charles Parham, actually, he rejected what happened at Azusa Street, and he was not happy to see blacks and whites worshiping together and experiencing the Spirit together. He was not happy with that because of his own background. The meetings were primarily led by William Seymour, who was a black preacher blind in one eye. But they put a big emphasis on let the Holy Spirit lead, let the Holy Spirit move, and people tried to get out of the way. I'm sure there's some odd things that happened there, but it was a holiness movement. There was a scandal associated with Charles Parham. Was he actually guilty? Could be. Could well be. But the fact that you have one leader in a movement mess up, how many leaders in all kinds of movements have messed up? How many leaders in the Reformation messed up? But here's what's fascinating. What many people don't know is the early Pentecostal movement over 100 years ago was a hardcore holiness movement. They believed that until you were sanctified in God and living a holy life, you could not possibly be baptized in the Spirit. And when you read the writings of Frank Bartleman, who was a journalist who popularized what was happening in Azusa Street by writing about it and what he wrote spread, when you read what he wrote, it's as Jesus-centered as you can imagine. Here, how about this? This is what he wrote. We may not hold a doctrine or seek an experience except in Christ. I mean, I could have heard one of the Strange Fire speakers saying these exact words, and we'd all be saying amen. We may not hold a doctrine or seek an experience except in Christ. Many are willing to seek power in order to perform miracles, draw attention and adoration of the people to themselves, thus robbing Christ of his glory and making a fair showing in the flesh. The greatest need would seem to be for true followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. Religious enthusiasm easily goes to seed. The human spirit so predominates the show-off religious spirit, but we must stick to our text, Christ. And he warned. He said the temptation seems to be toward empty manifestations. This does not require any particular cross or death to the self-life, hence it is always popular. We may not put power, gifts, the Holy Ghost, or in fact, anything ahead of Jesus. Any mission that exalts even the Holy Ghost above the Lord Jesus Christ is bound for the rocks of error and fanaticism. This is what the early leaders held to. By holding to that, we have Jesus and the Spirit.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. We're doing something special today on the broadcast. I'm just sharing quotes with you from different leaders that are edifying quotes, but that also give us insight into who people were, what they believed, and giving away free books in the process. So here are the rules. You're not allowed to look up the quote online. You can talk about it with friends or family. Talk about it to friends or family. You listen carefully because this is all multiple choice, and we are eliminating names as we go. 866-34-TRUTH. Who said this? Jesus did not die on the cross just so we could live comfortable, well-adjusted lives. His purpose is far deeper. He wants to make us like himself before he takes us to heaven. This is our greatest privilege, our immediate responsibility, our ultimate destiny. Jesus did not die on the cross so we could live comfortable, well-adjusted lives. Was that Joel Osteen? Was that Rick Warren? Was that Billy Graham? Was that Oral Roberts? Was that Benny Hinn? Was that R.C. Sproul? 866-348-7884. What's the greatest goal of God? He wants to make us like himself before he takes us to heaven. 866-34-TRUTH. Who said it? Sean in Old Bridge, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your guess, sir?
I would have said Leonard Ravenhill, but that wasn't one of the choices.
Well, I may have a Ravenhill quote in the second hour, but no, he wasn't on that list, so give me another guess.
But given the answers that have been given already, it hasn't represented what you would have thought someone would have said, so maybe it was Joel Osteen.
You know, Sean, you had perfect logic there, but you got it wrong. But great logic. Unexpected from the source. No, it was not Joel Osteen. 866-34-TRUTH. Jesus did not die on the cross so we could live comfortable, well-adjusted lives. Was it Billy Graham, Rick Warren, Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, or R.C. Sproul? Harry in Chester, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Is it R.C. Sproul?
It is not R.C. Sproul, but I could certainly see him saying something like that. He'd probably say it in a little bit more lofty theological terms, given his acute theological mind, acute being a good word. 866-34-TRUTH. Linda in Boston, you're on the Line of Fire. What's your guess?
Oh, I went out to get my mail, and I missed the choices.
All right, here's the beginning of the quote. Jesus did not die on the cross just so we could live comfortable, well-adjusted lives. Here's what we're down to. Was it Rick Warren, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, or Benny Hinn?
I'd say Billy.
All right, good guess, but no, not Billy Graham, although certainly we could see him saying that. We're down to Oral Roberts, Rick Warren, and Benny Hinn, who said it. Let's go to Cerritos in Houston, Texas. What's your guess?
Yes, sir. I think that was Rick Warren.
That was Rick Warren. You are correct. What made you guess that?
I believe I saw it in one of his books.
Good for you, man. That's really nailing it. You know, here's the possible giveaway. the word purpose, because of purpose-driven life and purpose-driven church, Jesus did not die on the cross just so we could live comfortable, well-adjusted lives. His purpose is far deeper. Okay, I've got time for one more, all right? And I'm going to give you a clue right off the bat. This is a Pentecostal or charismatic leader, all right? So my whole list is going to be only Pentecostal or charismatic leaders. I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. God is everything the Word says He is. We need to get acquainted with Him through the Word. Who said that? Oral Roberts? Benny Hinn? Kenneth Copeland? Smith Wigglesworth? William Seymour, Charles Parham. These are all Pentecostal or charismatic leaders, some in the Word of Faith camp. I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. Gregory in Boston, what's your guess? Hello, Gregory. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I think it's Kenneth Copeland.
No, it's not Kenneth Copeland. Now, again, educated guess, because he'd be teaching a lot of scripture, even though I differ with a lot of the interpretation. But no, not Copeland. Okay, let's go to Natalie in Boston. Hey, Natalie, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What's your guess?
Wow. Can you review the people's names again?
Sure. We've got Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, Smith Wigglesworth, William Seymour, Charles Parham. Seymour and Parham were older leaders, Wigglesworth, middle of the last century, and, of course, Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, more in our day.
Oral Roberts?
No, it was not Oral Roberts. It was not Oral Roberts. Okay, time is short. We got to get a winner. Laura in Phoenix, what's your guess?
Well, since I don't know most of them, except Benny Hinn, I'm not going to say Benny Hinn. I'll say William Seymour?
No, it's not William Seymour, although he could have well said it. Early Pentecostal leader wasn't Seymour. So we're down to Parham, Wigglesworth, and Benny Hinn, and the clock is ticking. Susan in the Bronx, your guess.
What was the quote?
The quote was, I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings, only by the Word. Was it Benny Hinn, Smith Wigglesworth, or Charles Parham?
Wigglesworth, yes.
Wigglesworth. It was absolutely Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know that Wigglesworth would read the New Testament perpetually, read the Word perpetually, speak the Word perpetually? He was one of the preeminent Pentecostal leaders of the last century, a very Jesus-centered man. And generally his habit was, when he was asked how long he prayed, he said, oh, I never pray more than a half hour at a time. He said, I rarely do. He said, but I never go a half hour without praying. And his habit was basically you would be reading scripture or quoting scripture every 15 minutes of his life. If you're driving in a car with him or riding a train with him and something came up and a few minutes passed and he wasn't talking about the Word, he'd immediately stop and say, we need to be talking about the Word. Interesting. 866-348-7884. This hour is over, but stay on the phone because we're going to keep this up the next hour. You can now pre-order your copy of Authentic Fire. It'll be filled, just the quotes in the book alone will be worth it, what we're putting together in an edifying, constructive, non-attacking book, refuting the errors of strange fire, laying out authentic fire. Pre-order your signed copy now, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or pre-order on our website. Just go to AskDrBrown.org. You'll see it there to pre-order. My bottom line today, you know, we often have a lot of misconceptions about people and what they believe. It's always best to get things out of the horse's mouth. What? He said that? Oh, you're about to be surprised with some famous quotes today from some people that will surprise you. We'll also be giving away some free copies of my newest book, Authentic Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we just had a fun but edifying hour, and we're going to have another fun and edifying hour this hour. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Just a programming alert, tomorrow's broadcast, Dr. Lynn Wilder, author of the book Unveiling Grace, the true story of how we found our way out of the Mormon Church. She was a professor, researcher, teacher for 20 years, and tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University. If you're a Mormon listener, if you have friends who are Mormons, don't miss tomorrow's broadcast. All right, here are the rules for the day. Number to call, 866-348-7884. I'm going to read you a quote. You are not allowed to type it in, get online, try to figure it out like that. If you've got some other books or resources to try to figure out who said what, or if you want to talk with a friend or colleague, you're free to do that. But otherwise, you just take a guess, and I will give you a list of potential names as to who said what. Are you ready? Ready to go? Whoever gets it right gets a free copy, signed copy of my new book, Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. I'm working on it every day, having a wonderful time working on it, writing it in the most edifying, faith-building, unifying way I can while strongly correcting error and setting the record straight. I think you'll be tremendously edified and helped by the book, regardless of where you find yourself on the spectrum. 866-34-TRUTH. Who said this? If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. Let me read that again. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. Who said that? Was that Billy Graham? Was it A.W. Tozer? Was it Oswald Chambers? Perhaps it was Benny Hinn? Perhaps it was John Wesley? Maybe Oral Roberts? Maybe John MacArthur? Who said it? Tozer, Chambers, Graham, Hinn, Roberts, MacArthur, or Wesley? Let's go to the phone, starting with Nerva in Queens, New York. What's your guess? Who said it?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. What's your guess?
Billy Graham.
Good guess again. He's come up a lot, but no, not Billy Graham. 866-34-TRUTH. Linda in... I was going to go to Boston. Nate in... you know what? Some of these folks were holding the end of the last hour, and they probably had to go. Let's go to Manhattan with Bruce. What's your guess, sir?
Can you repeat the list, please?
The list is Benny Hinn, A.W. Tozer, Oswald Chambers, Oral Roberts, John MacArthur, or John Wesley?
I narrowed it down to Wesley or MacArthur. I'm going to go with John MacArthur.
Fascinating, but no, it was not. It was not John MacArthur. It was not John MacArthur, who, of course, organized the Strange Fire Conference, has a Strange Fire book coming out, a book and conference with which I take deep, deep exception, at the same time sharing many of the concerns. So we'll come back, we'll get this right the other side of the break. Who said it? If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we are having a joyful time on the air today. I thought we'd have some fun, but we'd make it edifying, and we'd give away some free books as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Who said it? I'm going to read a quote to you, give you a list of potential people who said it. It may make sense. It may be a shocker for you. All right? But the quotes are accurate and fair and in context as far as I know. So the rules, again, you're not allowed to look this up. You can't type it in online or smartphone, try to search for it. That means if you have an iPhone, you can't ask Siri to find it for you. Okay, just covering the bases. But give it a stab. Give it a try. Who said this? If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. Was it A.W. Tozer, Oswald Chambers, Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts, or John Wesley? We've eliminated Billy Graham and John MacArthur. We had previous guesses for that. Reginald in Charlotte, North Carolina. What's your guess, sir?
Yes, I got the last two right. And let me see. I'm going to take a stab at this one. I think it was Oral Roberts.
Oh, man. I'm sorry that you got the others right, but not this.
Oh, I know who it is now, man.
All right. Tell you what. I'm going to make an exception, and I'm going to take your word that you got the last two right. So the only exception I'm making the entire day, you get it, sir. You get a second guess. Go ahead.
Wow.
But hang on. You get this wrong, man. You really eat humble pie because you think you got it. All right. Go ahead.
All right. My reasoning is that it was a modern pastor that would have shared this. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say Benny Hinn.
All right, good logic, but Reginald, you had two in a row, and you got two wrong. But, listeners, you're not upset, because that just eliminated now. It's either John Wesley, A.W. Tozer, or Oswald Chambers. 866-34-TRUTH. Gregory in Boston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
It's A.W. Tozer.
A.W. Tozer, is that a guess, or did you know that?
Guarantee, because I've read almost all his books.
Gregory, you nailed it, sir. A.W. Tozer, stay right there. Good job, man. That's the way to do it. See, the two I've liked the most so far, one from a caller who heard me talk about the subject a few weeks earlier, so listens regularly to the radio program, learned from me and remembered it, and here, someone who's read almost all of Tozer. You know my problem with A.W. Tozer? Virtually every line I read, I want to highlight. I got books of his, and it's just, you know, in the old yellow highlighter days, I still use that, but now with ebooks, you can highlight just in your reader. But just, I'd highlight everything, because everything was so rich, deep, and perceptive. Now, did you know this about A.W. Tozer's history? He was mentored by F.F. Bosworth. Who's F.F. Bosworth? An early Pentecostal leader who was at Azusa Street. F.F. Bosworth, famous for his book, Christ the Healer. Do you know that Tozer was in many meetings with Bosworth and saw many miracles of sick people being healed? That Tozer believed in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today, and that's part of why he wrote what he wrote, A.W. Tozer. Yes. Is that a surprise for some of you? 866-348-7884. The first hour, I read this quote, "It's what you sow that multiplies, not what you keep in the barn." That could have sounded like a televangelist or a faith teacher. It was actually Southern Baptist leader Adrian Rogers. I read this quote. In matters in which Scripture is not explicit, there's room for difference of opinion. And that was Pastor John MacArthur. I read Rick Warren, "Jesus did not die on the cross just so we could live comfortable, well-adjusted lives. His purpose is far deeper. He wants to make us like himself before he takes us to heaven. That's our greatest privilege, our immediate responsibility, our ultimate destiny." I read Smith Wigglesworth, early Pentecostal leader, "I can't understand God by feelings. I can't understand the Lord Jesus Christ by feelings. I can only understand God the Father and Jesus Christ by what the Word says about them. God is everything the Word says he is. We need to get acquainted with him through the Word." And then some amazing quotes from Frank Bartleman, who was an early Pentecostal leader at Azusa Street, which are as Jesus-centered as anything that you could imagine. 866-348-7884. Let's see, which quote do I want to go to next? Okay, we're gonna change gears a little bit here. Hang on. Okay, let's try this one. Who said this? I am not the healer. Was that Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts, the Apostle Paul? Was that John MacArthur? Was that Billy Graham? Who said it? I am not the healer. John MacArthur, Billy Graham, Benny Hinn, Oral Roberts, or the Apostle Paul? Let's go to Dan. And wanted to go to Dan. Brian in Snellville, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I want to say Oral Roberts.
Not Oral Roberts, but that's a good guess because he was famous for healing ministry. But no, not Oral Roberts. Let's go to Sherilla in... Sherilla's not there. Let's go to Richard in Ogden, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
I'm going to say it was Benny Hinn.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
I'm just somewhat familiar with his ministry. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but that's just kind of what my guess was from.
Yeah, it's a good guess, and you got it right, Richard. That's a good educated guess. If someone did not believe in divine healing today, if someone did not believe in healings and miracles taking place today, or people looking to them for healing, it would be an unlikely thing for them to say. So, Richard, you got that exactly right. It was Benny Hinn who said those words, I am not the healer. It's not an endorsement of everything he teaches or says. It's not an attack on him. It's simply a quote. Okay. He also said this, because we're continually growing in the Lord, preachers and lay people alike must be open to the Lord's correction. All right. Are you ready for this? Tell me who said this, okay? All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There's no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. Was that John MacArthur speaking about his Strange Fire conference? Was that Hudson Taylor talking about his mission to China? Was that Charles Parham talking about believing God for the baptism in the Spirit and speaking in tongues over 100 years ago? Was that Billy Graham when he founded his evangelistic association? Or was that Christopher Columbus when he sailed for America? All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. John MacArthur before the Strange Fire Conference, Hudson Taylor before launching the China Inland Mission, Charles Parham praying for the baptism of the Spirit and speaking in tongues over 100 years ago, Billy Graham launching his evangelistic association, or Columbus on his way to discover America. Of course, he didn't know he was going to discover America. 866-34-TRUTH. Who said it? We'll go to Brandon in Fort Worth, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, well, thank you. Can I get the options in? I know you get this a lot. But
no, that's all right. It's a lot to take in. Here we go. The options are Hudson Taylor launching China Inland Mission, John MacArthur before the Strange Fire Conference, Charles Parham praying for the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of tongues over 100 years ago, Billy Graham launching his evangelistic ministry, or Christopher Columbus.
I want to say Billy Graham, but I'm torn between the guy in China. So I'm going to say Billy Graham, just to shoot it out there.
All right. You said Billy Graham, but no, it was not Billy Graham. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Scott in Harrisburg, Virginia. What's your guess?
I'm going to say Hudson Taylor.
Hudson Taylor before launching the China Inland Mission? No, I'm sorry. It was not Hudson Taylor, but he got a lot of ridicule before he stepped out. All right, time for one more call before the break. David in Raleigh, North Carolina. Who was it? Was it John MacArthur, Charles Parham, or Christopher Columbus?
I would say Charles Parham.
Charles Parham, another good guess, but no. No, so it's we're down to either John MacArthur or Christopher Columbus. I'm laughing just because it's kind of a funny choice to have here at the end. All right, we'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, all today, the last hour and 20 minutes, I've been reading quotes from different leaders of the past or present, and you have to guess who it is. I've had a list as long as 10 at the beginning of the show. Now I've been changing it, making it a little easier, getting down to around 5 or 6 different people. You can't look up the quote online, so you take a guess. We've had some who know it cold because they've read what these people have written, but otherwise we'll have some fun, and the quotes are edifying and eye-opening. 866-348-7884. Who said this? All who heard of my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me. There's no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit because he comforted me with rays of marvelous inspiration from the Holy Scriptures. Now, I gave other choices. Was it Hudson Taylor before he launched the China Inland Mission? No, it wasn't. Was it Charles Parham over 100 years ago praying for the baptism of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? No, it wasn't. Was it Billy Graham launching his evangelistic association? No, we've had all those guesses. So my other two choices were Pastor John MacArthur before launching the Strange Fire Conference, or Christopher Columbus before sailing for America. So one of the next two callers is going to get it. And whoever gets it right gets a free signed copy of my forthcoming book, Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. Maisel in Greensboro, North Carolina, what's your guess?
Of my forthcoming book, Authentic Fire.
Hello, you're on the air, Maisel.
Fire.
All right, Dwight, why don't you just make sure they know how to turn the radio down, and we'll let them come around for the next question. Bo in Fort Worth, Texas. What's your take?
It is Christopher Columbus.
It is. Now, you answered not like a man guessing between two choices, but as if you knew. How did you know that?
I'm a D-Min student at Southern Seminary, and I'm also a Latin American studies major.
Well, now let me ask you this. Would you learn that at Southern Evangelical Seminary that Columbus said that, or is that more Latin American studies?
It's a combination of both.
Awesome. Well, good job, Bo. You nailed it. And I was not aware of it until recently, so you're ahead of me on that one. 866-34-TRUTH. You see, if I started the quote, it was the Lord who put in my mind the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. So you would have guess that. Okay, here's the next quote. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let me just see. Okay. Listen carefully. Who said it? It should be acknowledged that the arguments for a cessationist reading aren't open and shut. Nowhere does the New Testament clearly teach that supernatural gifts have ceased. Let me read that again. It should be acknowledged that the arguments for a cessationist reading aren't open and shut. Nowhere does the New Testament clearly teach that supernatural gifts have ceased. The author continues, for example, a good case for the continuation of the gifts until Jesus' second coming can be made from 1 Corinthians 13:8-12. Who said that? Is it me in one of my books? Is it Pentecostal leader David Wilkerson? Is it New Testament professor and charismatic Craig Keener? Is it New Testament professor and cessationist Thomas Schreiner? Is it Billy Graham? Let me read it again. And the choices are, I said it, David Wilkerson said it, New Testament professor Craig Keener, who's a charismatic, said it, New Testament professor Thomas Schreiner, who's a cessationist, said it, or Reverend Billy Graham. It should be acknowledged that the arguments for a cessationist reading aren't open and shut. Nowhere does the New Testament clearly teach that supernatural gifts have ceased. A good case for the continuation of the gifts until Jesus' second coming can be made from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. Who said it? We'll start with Stella in... I was going to Utah, but I'm not going to Utah. We'll go to Atlanta, Georgia. Sharon in Atlanta. Who said this? Was it me, David Wilkerson, Craig Keener, Thomas Schreiner, or Billy Graham?
I'm going to say it was you, Dr. Brown.
Oh, well, thank you, but I didn't say I agree with it. I agree with it, Sharon, but I didn't say it. But if I was violating the rules, I'd send the book anyway, but I got to play by the rules here. But thanks. Thanks for saying I do agree with it. I'd say it even more strongly, though. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I go back to the phones, and remember, it can't hurt to guess, right? So I got to just cross myself off there so I remember that. this book was nothing I planned on doing. I'm very busy with my other writing projects and ministry, and of course, Radio First every day. I've got a major trip coming up later this month to China to meet with Chinese church leaders, and then get back from there, and a week after that, go to India, our annual trip to India. So I was not looking for something else to do. Now, I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled the Lord's called me to write this Authentic Fire book. But it was a combination of God stirring my heart to write and then a flood of people asking me if I was going to write and then publishers contacting me and saying they'd get a book out now. So that's the origin of Authentic Fire. It was not planned. It's something that burst on me within the last couple of weeks. We're well into the book. The goal is to get it finished and to the publisher within a couple of weeks for them to get it out a couple of weeks after that. So Pastor MacArthur's Strange Fire book out, due out in mid-November. Mine should follow it about 2 weeks or 3 weeks after that. The ebooks will be available readily online. In fact, we're going to encourage folks to wait for the day it comes out to order the ebook, because we don't have publicity or anything behind it. That'll just help draw attention to it. But for our ministry, there's a special print edition that's being done so that we will be able to get print books out to you, and that's how I'm going to sign them and get them out. And it'll be just as quick as the ebook, which is mind-boggling. I'll tell you how you can order that in a moment. All right, so who is it that said this, that you cannot make an open shut case against the gifts of the Spirit? In fact, you can argue for the ongoing gifts of the Spirit based on 1 Corinthians 13. Was it David Wilkerson, New Testament Professor Craig Keener, New Testament Professor Thomas Schreiner, or Reverend Billy Graham? Let's go to Margaret in High Point, North Carolina. What's your guess?
David Wilkerson.
No, it was not David Wilkerson. But certainly he believed in the gifts of the Spirit for today and warned against abuses and rebuked the carnal prosperity message and preached everything to exalt Jesus. So it was not him. All right, stay with us, folks. You'll get the answer on the other side of the break. Here's what you can do. You can all pick up the phone and call 1-800-278-9978 to pre-order your signed copy of the Authentic Fire book. Again, not some hyper gimmick. It's just being printed for our ministry, so that's the only place you can get the print version. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and you can order directly there.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, one of the things I love to do on the radio is have fun with you, our radio listeners. I was ministering in Maryland this past weekend. We've got one of our largest stations in the nation that blankets D.C., goes well into Maryland, well into Virginia. So I was meeting folks that have listened for years. Some used to listen to me on our New York station, moved to Maryland. We're thrilled to find us there. And I love to have fun with listeners, but, you know, I'm jealous over every minute. I'm jealous over every minute of radio time. If I share a family story, it's because we are family in an extended way on radio. But I always do it jealous for the time and wanting to make every minute count. So I wanted to have some fun today, but I wanted to make it edifying. So for an hour and a half now, I've been reading quotes from famous leaders of the past and present. And some of the quotes are shockers. Like, no, I can't believe this person said that. Others, oh, that makes sense, that makes sense. But what I'm doing, I'm reading the quote. Okay, for all those just tuning in, I'm reading the quote. You cannot look it up online. You can talk to friends about it. If you have books where you think you can look it up, that's fine. And then I'm giving you a list of who said it, and you have to guess. And the first one that gets it, and it could be we've got seven choices and it takes seven calls, but everyone does get an answer. You get a free signed copy of my book, be available in about 1 month, Authentic Fire, A Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire. This is not an angry book fighting back with venom against an elder brother, a senior brother in the Lord. No, this is saying, hey, there's some misrepresentation, some exaggerated statements, some error here. Let's correct it in a way that's unifying and edifying and bringing us together about what really matters, exalting Jesus, touching a dying world in the life and power of the Spirit. So here's the quote again for those just tuning in. We're down to our last three choices. Who said this? It should be acknowledged that the arguments for a cessationist reading aren't open and shut. Nowhere does the New Testament clearly teach that supernatural gifts have ceased. For example, a good case for the continuation of the gifts until Jesus' second coming can be made from 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 12. So we have three choices left. Evangelist Dr. Billy Graham, Professor Craig Keener, New Testament scholar who is a charismatic and believes in the ongoing gifts of the Spirit, Professor Thomas Schreiner, also a New Testament scholar who does not believe in the ongoing gifts of the Spirit for today. Who said it? Let's go to Sonia in Garland, Texas. What's your guess?
Well, let me just guess Billy Graham.
Well, you know, I've had Billy Graham guessed repeatedly. Matt, let's make sure we have one Billy Graham quote thrown in there. Well, though I'm giving it away. But no, it wasn't Billy Graham. Although I imagine he would have been in harmony with that. Paul in Fort Worth, Texas. What's your guess?
My hope and my guess is that it's the cessationist guy. Schreiner, I believe you said his
Thomas
name was.
Schreiner. You nailed it. Yeah, I've got some of Thomas Schreiner's works. He is a great New Testament scholar. Yeah, and that would have been the logical choice, the cessationist. Now, he wrote a review of Pastor John MacArthur's Strange Fire book. He takes issue with things in the book, agrees with much of it, but feels that Pastor MacArthur painted with way, way too broad a brush and says we can be thankful for the many good things that have occurred and are occurring in the charismatic movement, as well as recognizing that there are abuses to be dealt with. And he says, look, I'm a cessationist, but he says it should be acknowledged that the arguments for a cessationist reading aren't open and shut. Nowhere does the New Testament clearly teach that supernatural gifts have ceased. Now, he says, a good argument can be made for such a reading. Indeed, I think the case for cessationism is convincing, and the warnings MacArthur raises are salutary. Still, we must admit that there are some solid arguments from the other side as well. For example, a good case for the continuation of the gifts until Jesus' second coming can be made from 1 Corinthians 13. I'm convinced it's a slam dunk case that can be made for the continuation of the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with more quotes and your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. For the first time in an hour and a half, we've got some phone lines open. So if you want to get in now, you may not know what quote I'm about to read. You may not have any guess on it, but that's okay, because all you need is to take a guess, and I'm going to give you the multiple choice. You're not allowed to look this up, but who said it? 866-348-7884. I have also seen groups where the expected behavior of the ones being prayed for was that they fall over. This was nothing more than learnt behavior, religion at its worst. All right, let me read that again. I have also seen groups where the expected behavior of the ones being prayed for was that they fall over. This was nothing more than learnt behavior, religion at its worst. Was this Hank Hanegraaff, the Bible Answer Man? Was this R.C. Sproul? Was this Phil Johnson, John MacArthur's editor and one of the speakers at the Strange Fire Conference? Was this John Wimber, founder of the Charismatic Vineyard Church movement? Or was it Oral Roberts? Read the list again. Was it Hank Hanegraaff, R.C. Sproul, Phil Johnson, John Wimber, or Oral Roberts? I've also seen groups where the expected behavior of the ones being prayed for was that they fall over. This was nothing more than learnt behavior, religion at its worst. We'll start with Albuquerque, New Mexico. Joe, what's your guess?
Oh, boy, this is a good one. I'm going to go with Wimber.
Okay, why do you say Wimber?
Well, he's a founding member of the Vineyard Movement, you said, and I just believe that there's probably some discernment on his part and some corrective maybe on his part to call some of these things out.
Well, you nailed it, Joe, and you nailed it for the exact right reasons. If you were at a Wimber meeting, I only attended one series of meetings with Wimber in my life, but it was totally low key. I mean, I'm Pentecostal background, and you know, like the fired up, come on, praise God, shout to Jesus, you know, and he's real low key, and he'd do some teaching, and some friends were at a meeting where he did teaching in the morning about what the Bible says about signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, okay, well, I'll take a bathroom break. And then everybody comes back, says, okay, now let's pray and see what the Lord does. Like, what? No, you got to, like, get people in the right mindset and atmosphere. You know, see, he was confident if the Holy Spirit worked, the Holy Spirit worked. Now, Matt, you got to check on me. The spelling in this quote is British spelling. So it could be a British edition of a book. But it's got two British spellings in it. It's got learnt instead of learned and behavior, O-U-R. So this could be a British edition of one of his books. Wimber's also quoted as saying, I also visited several healing meetings and became angry with what appeared to be the manipulation of people for the material gains of the faith healer, dressing like sideshow barkers, pushing people over and calling it the power of God and money. They were always asking for more, leading people to believe that if they gave, they would be healed. That is also a quote from John Wimber. All right. Who said this? You ready? The mission is to bring Christ to the culture. Now, I said before the day's out, I didn't say for sure, but I may have a Billy Graham quote. I might. So, who said this? The mission is to bring Christ to the culture. Was that Reinhold Niebuhr, author of the book Christ and Culture? What was that? Donald Carson, Professor D.A. Carson, who wrote an updated version of the Niebuhr book. Was that Billy Graham? Was that William Wilberforce, who campaigned for the abolition of slavery and the slave trade in Great Britain? Was that Kirk Franklin, contemporary gospel artist? Was that Michael W. Smith, another contemporary gospel artist? Or was that Rick Warren? Now, we did quote Rick Warren earlier, but it's my game. I can quote somebody twice if I want to. Who said it? Niebuhr, Carson, Billy Graham, William Wilberforce, Kirk Franklin, Rick Warren, Michael W. Smith. The mission is to bring Christ to the culture. 866-348-7884. Dave in Tampa, Florida, what's your guess?
My guess, Dr. Brown, is Billy Graham.
Billy Graham guessed yet again. Now, I'm sure he believed that, but no, that's not a Billy Graham quote. Yeah, I was given a book of Billy Graham quotes compiled by Franklin. Tons of good quotes, but haven't used any yet today. Let's go to Brian in Snellville, Georgia.
Yes, sir. I'm going to guess Kirk Franklin.
All right. Now, why in the world did you say Kirk Franklin?
Oh, well, I don't know. I guess it's a lucky guess.
Well, it is a lucky guess. You're absolutely right. Now, I don't know a lot about Kirk Franklin, except when I was writing my Revolution book, he had the Revolution song, Do You Want a Revolution, which was a rap song that became very popular. And I can't tell you how many times, but a good number of times when I was working on the book and just wanted a little bit of a push, because God gave me grace to write the Revolution book in an intensive six-week period. You can get it as an ebook now with the new subtitle, The Jesus Call to Change the World, along with a book that followed that, Revolution in the Church, Challenging the Religious System with a Call for Radical Change. And in point of fact, I put that on quite a number of times and just was kind of buoyed and stirred by it. 866-348-7884. Do you want a revolution? All right. I'm just going to throw out just a bunch of edifying quotes. These are not for you to guess, okay? These are just some neat quotes here. Oh, let's see. Oh, how about Francis Frangipane, colleague and friend, Pentecostal charismatic leader. Again, I don't know exactly what camp he put himself in. He's not one to run around the building and jump up and down. The church for too long has followed Casper, the friendly ghost, instead of seeking the fire of the Holy Spirit. We've turned limp at the thought of our own cross. We faint when we think of suffering or sacrifice. Beloved, it's time to embrace the fire of God's presence. It is fire that purifies our sacrifice. Well said. How about this? Charles Spurgeon. It seems odd that certain who talk so much of what the Holy Spirit reveals to themselves should think so little of what he has revealed to others. That's a good sounding quote, isn't it? And interesting. I wonder what he believed about the Holy Spirit revealing things to people. Spurgeon also said this, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without wind or chariots without steeds. Like branches without sap, we are withered. Like coals without fire, we are useless. As an offering without the sacrificial flame, we are unaccepted. Let me say plainly that I fully understand that all those attending the Strange Fire Conference would agree. Well, I can't speak of all, but the leaders would agree. In other words, we all agree on the need for the Holy Spirit. We all agree that we must be empowered by the Spirit. My cessationist friends, and if you're listening and don't believe in gifts and power for the Spirit for today, or you got burned with some weird experience in the past and thrown things out and are very, very cautious, I accept the fact that you believe that we need the power of the Spirit. I accept the fact that you and I agree that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and the Holy Spirit leads us into obedience, and the Holy Spirit points to Jesus, and that we need to be fully relying on the Holy Spirit. We agree on that. The question is there spiritual power available in other ways? The question is, are the gifts that were normative in the New Testament normative today? The question is, can we expect these same things in our day that we read about in the New Testament? I say certainly. This is part of the end time promise, part of the last days promise, part of what God said he would do in the last days, which began with the death and resurrection of Jesus, to continue until the end of the age, until Jesus returns. At the same time, in no way do I think that my cessationist friends or those who were speakers at the Strange Fire Conference. In no way do I think that they or you are saying that the power of the Holy Spirit's not important, or that you're denying that the Holy Spirit is at work today. No, of course, I understand you believe he is, or that he could perform a miracle if he chose to. You would simply say that what was normative in the New Testament is not normative today. That's where we differ, but let's agree where we agree and pray for the Holy Spirit to move mightily in the church to glorify Jesus. We come back with an interesting story.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, for those who have enjoyed hearing these quotes every day, virtually every day, sometimes several times a day, I'm putting quotes like this on Facebook. Not for you to guess who said them, but great quotes. We're tweeting them out, the shorter ones in particular. So are you following me on Facebook? No? Really? Well, go there right now. Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. Maybe you're searching for Dr. Michael Brown. Got my personal page, and that's been full for a while. But we put even more on the Ask Dr. Brown page and more stuff going on with our ministry and radio things that are happening. And you'll be the first to know. A new article comes out, bam, you'll know it. New video comes out, bam, there it is. You'll know it. Quotes going out regularly. Hey, how about this great A.W. Tozer quote, only a disciple can make a disciple. Only a disciple can make a disciple. So I'm constantly putting new quotes on Facebook. Twitter, you can follow me on Twitter. It's hashtag doctor, that's DR, hashtag doctor, DRM, excuse me, Dr. Michael L. Brown. So you get two L's in the middle there. It's all one word, DR Michael L. Brown on Twitter. And Facebook, sometimes I'm able to interact as well. I'll post something. It could be a little controversial. We'll talk about it back and forth. A lot of great discussion. Sometimes hundreds and hundreds of comments as people weigh in with their thoughts. Great way to learn from others and sharpen your own views as well. So it's not just, you know, I had toast for breakfast and I saw a really cool movie last night, like, wow, and I was scared. And we try to make it worthwhile and valuable. So make sure you go there. Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown. I posted that Tozer quote within the last couple of days. Only a disciple can make a disciple. Billy Graham, I'm just giving you some quotes now, and then I'm going to tell you an interesting story. Billy Graham, self-centered indulgence, pride, and a lack of shame over sin are now emblems of the American lifestyle. He said, being a Christian is more than just an instantaneous conversion. It's a daily process whereby you grow to be more and more like Christ. Oh, let me find some more here. Where was it? Hang on. Okay, all right. Well, I quoted that. All right, I just quoted that one. Here's an interesting story. And by the way, I've been hearing Billy Graham a lot in my ears the last few weeks because of the My Hope campaign, national outreach campaign using Dr. Graham's messages where you bring people in your home and you sit and talk and then watch something together. So I'm hearing different feeds and things that are advertised on different stations. So I'm hearing his words a lot. And as I'm hearing them, wow, they're powerful. And wow, they're out compromise. And they are lifting up Jesus and preaching against sin. It's like a breath of fresh air with so much compromise preaching out there. And you know who I hear just about every day, sometimes a few times a day? I hear the voice of Pastor John MacArthur. And I'm not hostile when I hear his voice. I like it because it reminds me constantly of how much we have in common. You see, when we have a one-minute or two-minute break in the shows, you may be hearing local advertising or local promotion of a program happening on your radio station, but I'm hearing a certain feed. If you're listening on podcast or something like that, you're probably hearing that, or listening live online, you're hearing that feed as well. So I'm hearing Pastor MacArthur all the time with great stuff and wonderful quotes, and I'm appreciating it. I'm saying amen. So we have a whole lot more in common than we have that divides us. But let me tell you an interesting story here. Very interesting story. I read this in Charisma. News, the opinion column where I regularly write. And it was from James Robeson. James Robeson, let's prayerfully consider John MacArthur's concerns. It's a very, very graciously written article. If you've ever seen James Robeson on TV, you appreciate his gentle spirit. The smile seems very genuine. I know folks close to him for years that attest to his heart for the Lord and his heart for the poor and the suffering. And he said this, that he said, Billy Graham advised me years ago when I criticized and challenged him because he worked with so many different Christian groups. And friends, I've been criticized for that as well. I'm not comparing myself to Billy Graham. I'm just saying I've been criticized for that. You work with too many people. You shouldn't work with all these different people. What about this one said this in one message, or this one has a strange practice? Well, if they're believers, if they are born-again believers based on the fundamentals and we're working for the same larger purposes, I work with lots of people. And hey, tell you what, lots of people work with me. And that doesn't mean they agree with everything I say or do or practice, but we agree on the fundamentals and we join hands for the salvation of the Jewish people, or for moral reformation in America, or for world missions. So James Robeson writes, Billy Graham advised me years ago when I criticized and challenged him because he worked with so many different Christian groups. In my bold stand for my view of truth, I was often harsh and considered by some, quote, God's angry man. Billy's response in kindness was, I suggest you spend time with other believers you've been taught to avoid. Can I repeat that? He didn't say hang out with people who say they're Christians but deny the Bible as God's word, deny Jesus rose from the dead, don't share anything in common with us in terms of the fundamentals of the faith. Obviously, spend time with them to reach them with the gospel, but that was not Dr. Graham's counsel. Nor was it spend time with cult members and develop fellowship with cult members. Oh, we want to reach cult members with the gospel. Tomorrow, we'll have a former cult member, Dr. Lynn Wilder, who is a tenured faculty member at Brigham Young University, a Mormon. You need to tune in tomorrow's broadcast, author of the book Unveiling Grace. So he didn't say that. He said, I suggest you spend time with other believers you've been taught to avoid. I found that to be very wise and excellent counsel. Robeson said, I did. The experience was transforming, not only for me, but also transforming for those I reached out to, those outside my own camp, my basket that covered me. I believe Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't moved. We have. We need to move back under his shadow, filled with the Spirit, and yielded to his word. Well said. Well said. All right, friends. Again, pre-order your copy of Authentic Fire. This is not a mean-spirited attack on others in the body. There are some major errors and blind spots that we do have to address, and I address them in love and with respect. But you will be edified as you read this book. The quotes will open your eyes. The laying out of scripture will open your eyes. Some of the articles and contributions from other friends and colleagues will open your eyes. So pre-order your copy now. The only way to get a print copy is through our ministry. The ebook you'll be able to get on all platforms. If you want to wait for the ebook to come out for Kindle or Nook or iPad, whatever, that's fine. But the print book is being printed exclusively for us, depending on how many copies we need. So you can only get Authentic Fire through us, and the price will be reasonable, as always. So pre-order your copy now, and I'll sign it because we're excited about getting this out. 1-800-278-9978. Get as many copies as you want. 1-800-278-9978. You can go to my website, askdrbrown.org. For those who are judgmental, no, I'm not receiving a dime of royalties for these printed books. 1-800-278-9978 or askdrbrown.org right on the homepage. My bottom line today, can we join together across our differences if we are united in Jesus? Can we join together for the Great Commission?